Church, it has been a difficult 2 weeks for many of us in DUMC. Many of you have been praying for our sister Serene Chong, who was one of our admin staff, and she went home to the Lord on the 24th of June, Wednesday, at 5:49 in the morning, after battling with a health condition for more than 2 weeks. We are thankful for many of you who have travailed in prayers for her. We are also thankful for the church community that stood with the family. But the Lord says it fits that she returns to be with Him to an eternal glory. And Serene joined church full-time in March 2018. She's well-loved by many. And not only did she love her job, evidenced by her passion and attention to minute details, more importantly, she loves the church and the people of God. You know, her husband said that she loved her job so much that it is no longer a job to her. And many will miss her presence. And this is one of those life mysteries why some of us stay shorter or some longer on earth. But our eternal glory and destiny is the same as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of these words of comfort from the Apostle Paul, which I shared with the family on the night of a homegoing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Which means, while we grieve with hope, knowing that Serene has gone to the presence of God one day to be given a new resurrected body, and we will see her again on the new earth. It is not goodbye. It's see you soon. So please be in prayer for the family, her husband, Vincent Leong, and her three children, Prisca, Phoebe, and Ethan. All three of the children are actively involved in our Resonate worship ministry. And on behalf of the church, I've extended our condolences to them, as well as to others in the church family who have suffered the loss of their loved ones during this period. And this reminds us of the uncertainties of life, and has hence to live such that when it's our turn to return home to God, we will be ready. And I hope we are reminded to recalibrate our life and not waste this MCO, and ask this question honestly in our hearts. Will I live my life differently after this? So let's stand and read the Word of God together. And as always, let's lift up our Bible. And wherever you are right now, just lift up your Bible, whether it's a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible. Lift it up in your hands and we're going to recite together, "This is my Bible." Are you ready? All right, you know the drill. One, two, go. "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God." And let's read from the screen together. You know, these two passages here, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Ready? Let's read it aloud together. One, two, go. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." And from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, will you come and begin a new work, God, in each of our hearts? As we listen to your word, may we hear you speaking deep into our spirit in such a way that, Lord, we will recognize your voice. We will know exactly, God, what we need to do in obedience to you. So we pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have just concluded a 9-week sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, which lasted throughout the MCO period. It helped us to anchor on the fundamentals of our Christian belief and to put our focus on the basic truths of the Trinitarian God, even when things around us are being shaken. Now, I want to encourage you to commit the Creed to memory, and hope Many of you have done that. Now, we are doing a two-week series on shifting from a superficial faith to an authentic faith, which I highlighted as one of those key things that God would do in due MC during this MCO and pandemic. And I hope this season has given us a renewed perspective about what's important and what's not important about life. And I hope it has also encouraged us to take our faith seriously and deepen our devotion to God with a desire to obey and follow Him. Now, what do I mean by shifting from a superficial faith to an authentic faith? As your pastor, my heart and desire is to see all of you moving from just outward good Christian religiosity to a real inner lasting heart change. It means growing in maturity and Christ-likeness, moving from drinking milk to eating meat, going from being spoon-fed to learning to feed yourself, moving from self-centeredness to others-centeredness, and saying no to ungodliness and pursuing godliness. Now, you may ask, whatever for? Well, growing in maturity and Christ-likeness is for our good and for His glory. And one day, when we meet the Lord, we will long to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you remember, we did a gospel sermon series last year. The gospel grows and matures you to be more like Christ. I mentioned that we are saved in three ways. That number one is that you have been saved. Now, theologians call it justification. You are justified. You have been saved from the wrath and judgment of God. But getting saved is only the first step. Secondly, you are being saved. Sanctification. Well, that means being saved from something to being saved for something. You are cleansed, sorted, and transformed. And so this is a daily thing as we continue to grow in our discipleship, helping us to say no to sin and ungodliness. And thirdly, you will be saved. And we call it glorification. Being saved for something eternal, one day to have a new and glorious body on the new earth. So, in the process of sanctification, here's my big idea today. God is not finished with me yet. He wants to save me from myself. Let me repeat that. He wants to save me from myself. One of the most difficult people to confront in life is yourself. You know why? Because you love yourself too much. I already sense the tension in some of you hearing me say this. You may even disagree with me. Well, one phenomenon I observed that has proliferated in the last 10 years is that I've never seen so many people taking selfies of themselves. Everywhere we go, we see this more and more. What did we do before selfies were invented? Well, in the past, we go to a beautiful place of natural beauty and sceneries. We would stare at it for quite some time, soaking in the sight. We may admire them, even take a photo of them. You know, nowadays, the first thing we do is to take a selfie. You know, a photo of me in the foreground and the scenery at the background. In the days of negatives and cameras, if you are always taking a photo of yourself, we call that narcissism. That word came from a Greek mythology of a handsome young man called Narcissus, who fell in love with a reflection of himself in a pool of water. It's like looking into the mirror all the time and falling in love with yourself. What is called narcissism before, today it is called Facebook or Instagram. We live in a world of selfies, an obsession with ourselves. It means we are all on a selfie mode all the time. Let me explain this selfie mode. When you look at the group photo, who do you look for first? You, right? Well, if you don't look good in it, the whole photo is bad, or the cameraman is bad. It doesn't matter whether others may look really good in it. You see, the selfie mode is all about me, making ourselves the center of God's beautiful creation of self-promotion, self-exaltation, and self-exaggeration. It's normal to set up a page to be all about me, myself, and I. I call it the unholy trinity. What I eat, where I go, and what I do. See, the Bible warns us in the last days is going to creep into the church. And Apostle Paul talked about it 2,000 years ago in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But mark this, he said, there will be terrible times in the last days where people will be lovers of themselves. And then he listed out many other things as well. And then in verse 5, this is what he said, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And here, Apostle Paul is not just talking about the pagans, but also the church. Now, please don't get me wrong about that. Facebook or Instagram is bad. It's nothing but a social media tool or platform. All I'm saying is that we need to watch out that we don't get too obsessed with ourselves, which is really difficult because the default mode of our sinful nature is actually self-centeredness. You know, how many of us, when we attend a church celebration or cell group, came thinking first about ourselves? For example, we ask the question, where do I want to sit? Who do I want to sit with? Or in our minds, we say, I hope I can find a good parking spot. Or I hope the preacher says something to me. Or I hope the worship leader pick a song that I like. You see, we came in with selfie mode. We walked in with our own problems. We asked people to come over here, look at my problems, my issues, look at me. You see, I know this because I've been a pastor for the last 26 years. You know what? The most miserable people are those who cannot get out of selfie mode for a long time. They cannot be pleased. They cannot be happy, no matter what we do for them. See, the best thing I can do for you today is to show you this little button on your phone. And if you push it, it takes you off selfie mode. And you cannot, after this, see yourself anymore on the camera. Well, getting out of selfie mode is about looking at someone better than yourself. It is switching to a selfless mode, from a self-centered life to an others-centered life. So what is this selfless mode? This mode is counterintuitive because all our life, we have been told to get ahead of everyone else. We feel we have to be the center of the universe. I remember as a young student in primary school, I was so competitive that after the final exam, when the marked test papers were returned, I would go to all my friends in the class and ask them for their marks and write them down in a table that I've created in my exercise book. You know what? I was tabulating the marks to see if I'm ahead of my classmates. You see, all our lives we've been told to be better than our competition, than our cousins, than our neighbors, than our colleagues, than our friends, even with our fellow church members. We have been operating in this selfie mode for a long time. Why do you think toilet papers were running out just before the start of MCO? Or questions, why am I not mentioned or featured after putting in so much effort? Nobody thanked me or appreciated me. See, hence in our stage of being saved, in the process of sanctification, God has to deal with our self-centeredness. The best thing you can do for yourself is to get over yourself and learn to look at the needs of others. And therefore, from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I love the way the Message Bible puts it. Let me read it for you. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Now, becoming Christ-like is to turn off this selfie mode and turn on the selfless mode by looking at others and serving them. See, God has given us unique spiritual gifts to serve the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Well, they are called spiritual gifts of grace, something we don't deserve, but God chooses and selects different ones of us to use these spiritual gifts to build up one another. The very nature and design of the church is to help us push that button. God has given me a gift of teaching and encouragement, for example, so that I can bless others. It is not for me. It is for the common good. The reason why some of you are not receiving these spiritual gifts is because you have not been thinking about the common good of the body. Gifts cannot flow through you when you are in a selfie mode. To turn on the selfless mode, you learn to say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," when you woke up this morning, and pray, "Holy Spirit, please use me to bless someone else." The least miserable people in MCO are those who are outward focused towards those in need around them than those who are cooped up at home thinking how they are going to meet their own needs. Well, here I don't mean those who are genuinely has a financial need due to the job situation, but those of us by God's grace has enough. Now, that is why we encourage everyone to serve in the ministry, because you learn to take your eyes off yourself and towards the needs of others. Imagine with me, everyone coming to church thinking about others. You will park in the buildings behind the church or further away so that others with young family or our senior members can park in church or nearer to church. When your favorite seat is taken when you walked in, you rejoice that someone has the best seat in the auditorium. You look around and you're sensitive to anyone needing a helping hand. You respond when the call is made to serve. And I hope the Holy Spirit will reveal something about the posture of our hearts, because we usually cannot see how self-centered we are. Most modern-day counseling is focused on you. Look deeper. Go back to your childhood. Let's look at mother's wound, father's wound. Well, don't get me wrong. Dealing with them is not wrong in themselves where inner hurts are concerned. But if you continue to get stuck in it year after year, you continue to be in a selfie mode. If you continue to talk about you, go deeper and deeper into an unending cycle, you just get caught up in it, that's all. God has given you a new life, a new spirit. The Bible exhorted us to put off the old sinful nature and now put on the new self by serving others. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Well, if Jesus is our role model, then by being like him is going to give us life. Let me now go back to the big idea. God is not finished with me yet. He wants to save me from myself. So from a selfie mode, we switch to a selfless mode, which also turn on what I call the Savior mode. Now, what is this Savior mode? Well, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which we read earlier on, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Tell you what, let me speak now about Chris Kam, me. You see, Chris is leading me into misery all the time. He's always telling me to look into the mirror. He's leading me to destruction. He's always talking about how he feels, how he's offended, and how he's unhappy and dissatisfied. How about we put Chris to death? You see, that's what baptism means. Baptism is a burial service, if you have not gotten this by now. I really don't like Chris. Let's get rid of him. And when I come out from the water, I am no longer my own, but his. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Chris doesn't exist anymore. Only Christ. The Chris in Christ in the new person. We need to put the old Chris to death so that the Holy Spirit can have more of the new him. Let me give you a picture of heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 12, it says this, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000s. They circled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. What's going on in heaven and possibly on the new earth someday? Here's a description of millions and millions of angels worshiping God. And one day in the new heavens and new earth, when we come together to worship God, do you think, let me ask you, do you think people will be taking selfies? Look at me, look at me. No, definitely not. You know why? Because everyone will be staring at Him, at Jesus. Angels and people will all be there for one reason, singing and declaring, "Worthy are you, Lord," and God deserves all the attention. No one will be looking at themselves. You know, some of us have this audacity to say that one day when we meet God, we have 1,000 questions to ask God about all the mysteries of life. You know, I suspect in the light of this passage, one day when He asks me any question, tell you what, without hesitation, I think I would say, "No question, Lord," because we are no longer focused on ourselves, but on God. And that in itself is a paradigm shift for many of us. You see, there'll be no more mirrors on the new earth in that sense. Because why would we have a mirror when there's someone who is so much more beautiful and wonderful to look at? What then is the key to be in the selfless and savior modes? Well, by growing in love with Jesus and His Word and serving His people. The book of Hebrews describes some Christians who only drink milk while others are eating solid food. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that there are some who should have been teachers by now, but you're still drinking from the milk bottle. You don't know how to feed yourself with the Word of God. It's time for the church, and as lovingly as I can as your pastor, to ask you to stop expecting the church to be the only platform to feed you with the Word of God. My most loving advice is this to you. Feed yourself. Feed yourself. How? Spend daily time with Him. Read and meditate on His Word and let Him speak to you. The entire growing up years of a child is to teach him or her to feed himself when he's hungry. Don't just eat buffet, which will make you terribly unhealthy. Eat regular, routine, healthy food. You grow healthy not because of buffets, but of the daily healthy meal your God feeds you through His Word. There is no shortcut. So, stop hopping from church to church or from sermon to sermon or preacher to preacher looking for buffet meals and complain that the church never feeds you enough, because the church will never be enough in that sense. Only Christ is enough. And no one else can meet your expectation except Christ. Jesus says, "I am the living water, and whoever drinks of me will never go thirsty. And when you eat of this bread, will never go hungry." King David in Psalm 23 said this, "My cup overflows." What does that mean? How does my cup overflow? See, that can only happen when you learn to feed on the Lord every day. You see, when we are empty people, we suck other people dry. And that's what's causing all the conflicts in relationship and divorces everywhere. Empty people are in selfie mode. I'm married 32 years now to my wife. I'm more in love with her than the day I married her because I realized that she cannot meet all my needs. Only Jesus can. And because she also realized that she has everything that she needs in Christ, she doesn't need me to fulfill all her needs. We live in this perpetual love relationship, first with God, and then with each other. We have learned to turn off the selfie camera. I'm not saying it is easy to do that or we succeed all the time, but thankfully, improving. We need to recognize more and more that with the millions and millions of angels worshiping this God in heaven, yet He sacrificed his only son that I and you might be saved. And now calling me or you his child. No one has ever loved me like this before. And someday, he's going to take me to be with him forever. Wow. Wow. That's an amazing truth and privilege. You see, I don't come here spiritually dry. I'm overflowing because I'm staring at him, Jesus. He is enough for me. And we sing that in our songs. Christ is enough. And let's mean it as we sing it. You see, the devil hands you a mirror and says, look at yourselves. But Jesus says to you, no, look at me. Let me put this together with this big idea again. God is not finished with me yet. He wants to save me from myself. Church, some of us need to repent from looking at ourselves too much. But please don't get me the wrong way. I don't know all the intricate details of your life. I'm not saying that your needs, your hurts, and your wounds are not important. But there must come a point in your life when you need to stop looking at yourself. There's a difference between self-care and self-centeredness. By all means, take care of yourself and seek help. But keep in mind that often the greatest remedy to your problems is to allow God to work powerfully through you by focusing on Him first and then on others. You will be pleasantly surprised that when you begin to do that, your own problems begin to fade away. Now, if you are in deep pains and wounds right now, come to Jesus. Surrender it to Him. And don't dwell on them because you are already forgiven and you are delivered and you are given the Holy Spirit to be your helper, guide, and teacher. Live and make that truth come real for you. And if you are consumed with yourself, it's a great time today to repent and pray this prayer. Jesus, help me to be useful for the kingdom of God. Jesus, help me to be useful for the kingdom of God. Commit yourself to daily time with God and begin to serve others. Be committed to your church and cell group. And it's not about what you can get out of them, but what you can give. Now, if you're not a Christian today, and you're watching this online, And you know what I mean. You are tired of looking into your own mirror. Can I encourage you? Come to Jesus and give Him your life. He will take it and He will use it for His kingdom. It will be a far more fulfilling life. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Invite the Holy Spirit now to come and begin to whisper into your heart, into your mind. Because everything that we hear from the Holy Spirit, we are to note it, we are to put it into our heart, and we are to obey it. And so will you do that right now? And I want to speak to those of you who are not a Christian. I challenge you just now. If you're tired of looking at yourself all the time, and you know how tiring that can become, can I encourage you today that if the desire of your heart right now to look at Jesus and allow Him now to do something powerfully in your life, to turn off that selfie mode and begin to help yourself and allow Jesus now to turn on the selfless mode and the Savior mode, there's a prayer that you can make even right now. You don't have to know everything, but at least at this point, you know three things. And these three things I've often shared with people when they do not know Jesus yet. And all you need to do is say sorry, you say thank you, and you say please. Three things you need to say. It's basically about acknowledging that you are a sinner. You say sorry to Jesus for running your own life, looking at your own self in that selfie mode. And then you say thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you have paid the penalty of my sins. Thank you for that. And then you invite Jesus to come into your life. You say, please. So if that expresses the desire of your heart, right now, will you pray together with me? Just bow your heads right now and whisper in your own heart this prayer that I'm about to pray. And when you make that short prayer to the Lord Jesus, I believe He hears your voice. And then you begin a journey to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So are you ready? Bow your heads right now and quietly in your hearts, pray this prayer together with me. Dear Lord Jesus, together, dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins of my life. I'm sorry that I put on the selfie mode for such a long time. I'm looking at myself all the time. I'm getting tired of doing that. And I repent, and today I'm sorry for the sins of my life. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that on that cross you thought about me. And today, please, I accept your forgiveness. Please come into my life and make me a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, you know what? God heard that prayer. And when you said that prayer, because it is an invitation to God, He sends the Holy Spirit into your life right now and begin a new work. A new work of learning to turn off the selfie mode and turning on the selfless mode and Savior mode and making you an important part of the family of God and making you useful for the kingdom of God. It will truly change your life. And if you are a backslided Christian, and if you yourself have prayed that prayer in your own life, tell you what, God heard your prayer too. And so those of you who have said the prayer for the first time, or you know, you're a backslided Christian and you have said that prayer to sort of rededicate your life to God. Now, we want to know that you have done that. Can you go to the screen right now, you know, and just click that button called Raise Hands, because we want to know about what you just did and then to help you along the way. So could you do that right now? Just go to that button, click, you know, Raise Hands, and someone will attend to you and give you, and maybe hopefully to help you in this journey of your new faith. And for the rest of us, will you now commit yourself to God? You know, whatever that God has spoken to you, even throughout this sermon, will you come in obedience to Him right now? So will you raise your hands to God? Just raise your hands to God in complete surrender to Him, to acknowledge that you have, you know, been running your own life, even for us who are Christian, that we have loved ourselves too much. Holy Spirit, will you convict our hearts even this day? That as we surrender ourselves to you, God, in this process of sanctification, will you continue to work powerfully in our hearts to change us to be more and more Christ-like? And for those of us who are going through some deep wounds and deep pains in our life, they are important to Jesus as well. But, you know, as we now surrender to God, will you lift up these pains and wounds in your life to God? If you need to speak to someone later on, you can go to our live prayer and have someone pray with you. But right now, you know, will you just lift that, these things to the Lord in the open palm of your hand and commit these pains, these wounds, this difficulty in your life and surrender that to Him? And I believe God hears that prayer and He will begin a new work in you. Don't struggle alone in this. If you're not in a cell group, go join a cell group and have someone journey this with you. Because the hardest thing to do is to walk this journey by yourself. Don't do that. God has given you the Church of Jesus Christ, and we will walk alongside you. So whatever your needs are right now, if you need healing in your life as well, right now lift that to the Lord in the palm, open palm of your hand, and believe that God will do His work in your life. If you have an area of your body that needs healing, right now place your hands on that part of your body. Right now, everywhere where you are, if you know a family member who needs that, go to your family member and place your hands on that member, and we're going to pray together. And then I'm going to close in a short while. Can you do that quickly right now? Raise your hands or go to someone who needs a prayer. Just go to them, or someone you know who's not with you, but you want to pray for that person. You can do the same as well. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, you know every need, God. You know even our needs before we pray. And because you know our needs, God, we can come with open palms to you, God, recognizing that all these needs, we are sufficient in you, God. You are enough for us. And so we come and surrender these things to you. If there's a forgiveness that needs to be given, Lord, we know you will forgive. Where there's healing, God, we know you will heal, God. Where there's a need to heal our wounds and our hurts, you will do the same. So, Lord, we surrender this to you. And ask in a special way, God, will you do something powerfully in the days to come? So seal that into each of our lives, God. And begin and continue, Lord, to do that new work in each of us. And so we pray all this, God, in Jesus' name, God. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of His Spirit be with us both now and forevermore. Amen. So God bless you and have a great day. If you need prayer, go to live prayer, click on that button and someone will come to you. And if you are a new Christian, a new baby in Christ, remember, click that button called raise hands and someone will attend to you. So God bless you and have a great day.